right, episode number 32 of the Fight Night Picks podcast. Two of them in 2 days, brought to you by First Row Collectibles. Head on over to firstrow.ca and use promo code FNP for free shipping on your order today. We're also brought to you by Sisu Mouthguards. I've had a Sisu Mouthguard for a number of years. Great boil and bite mouthguard. Head on over to sisuguard.com and use the promo code FNP10 for 10% off your order.
Ladies and gentlemen, recorded in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada, it's time for the Fight Night Picks podcast with your host, Craig Allen.
All right. It's Friday, July 27th, episode number 32 of the Fight Night Picks podcast. I've got three great guests, another great episode. Hopefully you like the YouTube thumbnail. Let's get into it. So we had episode 31 yesterday, which was on iTunes and Stitcher. Today, you've got the second YouTube episode coming at you. I've got three great guests joining me. We've got Adam Townsend, who recently made his professional debut with his Muay Thai fight at Valor Fights last weekend. You might have seen him competing at ACB. Guy likes to have a lot of fun, has pretty cool intros if you've ever seen any of those ACB fights. So Adam Townsend joins us. We've also got Matt Peterson from New England Fights. He's a matchmaker there, and they have an event, NEF35, coming up September 8th from Bangor, Maine. So really excited for that card. I'm going to be covering that one live. And then ending the show, we've got Dan Lamort. You might recognize him from Fox's Red Eye. Comedian. He's all over the place. He's always touring. If you go on YouTube, you can check out some of his content. I think he was live at Gotham Comedy Club. So he's got all sorts of different things going on. He's also one of the main guys with Middle Easy. Definitely check them out on Twitter. They've also got a podcast as well. So we're going to have Dan joining us. But to start off the show, here's my conversation with Adam Townsend. Video.
Yeah, no, I just started. Oh, there we go.
Now we're talking. That's a good screen grab.
You on vacation or what?
Nah, I'm at the house, bro.
Yeah, just hanging out.
Just chill.
Yes, sir. So, I mean, really appreciate you coming on. You had the Muay Thai debut there this weekend. Ended up in your favor. Was that your true first Muay Thai fight? First professional one? Yeah.
Yeah, so that was my first ever Muay Thai fight. I'm 2-0 as a boxer, professional boxer, and I was really wanting to try to build my boxing record up. That's a goal of mine, is to, you know, fight on the big stage of boxing as well. I think boxing is in need of some good guys out there that can do a lot and kind of transition over from MMA as well. I don't feel like I'm a great boxer. I'm not sitting there saying that. But what I am saying is, you know, like there's not many guys that do both or even all three. So when they told me that they wouldn't let me do a boxing fight in the cage, and I was like, "Yeah, man, let's go ahead and, you know, let's do a Muay Thai fight." And you know, I'm pretty sure there's very few pros that are undefeated as a MMA fighter. I mean, undefeated as a Muay Thai fighter, undefeated as a boxer, and have a really good MMA record. So I think it's cool that I can do all those.
Yeah, and I mean, it was awesome that you got to finish in the fight too. And I mean, it was close to home too, being in Johnson City. How far away is that for you?
It's about 25 minutes. It's actually at my gym, so it's where I train at every day. So it was really cool to do it there. My gym's been putting on a few shows here and there, and I just wanted to be part of one of them. You know, it's been so long since I fought at home. You know, every one of my fights recently has either been out of the country or out of state. So it's been a long time, and I'm not involved in local MMA anymore at all. Me and the promoter kind of had a falling out, and you know, I'm just kind of outgrew it and got too busy for it as well. So it's real, you know, even when I was fighting away from here, you know, a long time ago, like for the RFA and stuff like that, I was still involved with local MMA. You know, I was still doing commentary or post-fight interviews. So I was still relevant to a lot of these guys. But I guarantee you, most of the people that was there, I mean, not there, but most of the people in the local scene really don't have any idea who I am or have never met me before.
Was it tough for a guy with 10 pro MMA submission wins to go in there into a Muay Thai fight?
No, man. I mean, I just feel like I feel like I'm well-rounded as they come, man. I feel like I've got good striking and wrestling and jiu-jitsu. It just seems like, you know, submissions are easier for me. I'm just more comfortable on the ground. You know, I'm a shorter fighter. I'm, you know, compact. So I've always been more of the wrestler type. I was just never really good at striking, but I feel like my striking is really good. I just feel like that, you know, when you're that much better at wrestling than a lot of people that I fight, why not take it there and try to, you know, expose them? I mean, I feel like that's what a smart fighter does. You know, there's been fights like my second RFA fight, you know, where I didn't go for a single takedown. You know, I kept the fight standing the whole entire time because I knew my striking was better. So I just feel like I'm a smart fighter in the case of wherever I'm best at, I take the people to wherever they're weakest at.
And I mean, you caught my attention with the fight at ACB 88. You kind of came back off a bit of a layoff, got the win there over Kieran Joblin, unanimous decision win. You got the hat on. What's next with ACB? I mean, they're kind of in a rough patch right now. I think on Sherdog right now, their next announced card's ACB 93. So it's not looking good for 91. I mean, I know with James Lynch on the Flow Combat podcast, you'd said you were hoping for the Sweden card. But now even 92 is not looking that great. So what do you think's next with them? What are the next steps for you?
You know, I hadn't really talked to ACB at all. I verbally signed three more fights with ACB. I've not put my name on the paper anywhere. I'm a man of my word. So if they keep me around and if they keep doing what they've been doing, then I'm going to stay there. I just actually, hadn't talked to ACB, in a while. You know, I was just kind of waiting to get through my Muay Thai fight and then go from there. So last night I actually messaged, all three of my contacts there, and was like, hey, what's up? What are we doing? You know, let's get me a fight. And I've not heard back from them yet. So, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know what's next. You know, hopefully it's ACB again. I mean, they pay me great. I love being a part of their organization. But if I need to shop around and go somewhere else, I can do that too. You know, I mean, it's not going to be hard for me to find a fight by any means. Finding a fight for good money is going to be the hard part, but, you know, finding fights are easy.
Yeah, for sure. How did you get involved with ACB, going from fighting in the States to fighting totally outside of the country?
Somehow I got a hold or something, no, Fight Nights Global or something like that, Russian promotion, contacted me and wanted to sign me. And I talked to Cyrus Fees about it. And I was like, Cyrus, what do you think about this? What do you think about, you know, because Cyrus, he goes everywhere doing all these, you know, he goes Brave, ACB, you know, he's been everywhere doing it all, Africa. So I was like, you know, what do you think about this promotion? He's like, no, they're good. You're just going to be, you know, it's tough competition. They're going to bring you over, lose every time, which is pretty much anywhere to go. And I was like, okay, you know, he's like, but it's a good promotion. And they was offering me some good pay at the time. And he was like, well, let me put you in contact with ACB and see if they kind of want a counter offer or whatever. And they counter offer, made a higher offer, and I went to ACB. So Cyrus Fees played a big role in it, honestly.
Well, that's awesome. And hopefully we can see you again back in competition, whether it's in North America or outside of the country again. I mean, ACB, they put on good shows for sure. That's all I got for you, man. I really appreciate you coming on. If you got any shout outs or anything, the floor is yours.
Yeah, you know, I always want to thank all my coaches and all my supporters, my family, my friends, you know, everybody that watches the interviews, everybody that does all this stuff. You know, we always have, I have a lot of support here at home, so I really appreciate everybody that always supports me. That's all I can ever say, man.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much for coming on.
Check out Adam on Twitter. It's Adam Townsend MMA. Likes to have a lot of fun, likes to interact with the fans, and I really appreciate having him on the podcast. And like I said at the start, make sure you check out his fights. ACB has all the fights you can ask for on YouTube. And it really sucks. I mean, they're really in a disappointing spot right now, canceling events. I love them. We had Jeff Houston on the podcast a while ago, you know, kind of detailing how he got involved with them. He's also involved with Road FC, and they've got an event coming up here really, really soon. So, I ACB is so great. I mean, the fights are great. They've got great fighters. You know, they just signed One Punch Brad Pickett, among others. So it's a disappointing road they're kind of going down. Their big motto is more fights, and the way that it works is, you know, you and I could be fighting right now, and, you know, our fight gets done. There might be a post-fight interview, but it's going to be quick. And then a minute, maybe later, another fight's about to start. They're already bringing in the next group of fighters. So exciting stuff there. And make sure you check out Adam Townsend's content. Hopefully we can see him back in the ring here soon. So my next interview, I've got Matt Peterson from New England Fights. We talked about Bellator 93 that happened in Maine at one point. We talked about Dana White's looking for a fight. And of course, NEF 35 Wicked season that's coming up September 8th from Bangor. So here's my conversation with Matt. Thanks so much, Matt, for coming on the podcast. I mean, it was great meeting you at NEF 34 in Portland, and I know I'm really excited for NEF 35 coming up in Bangor September 8th. So just to get started, I watched a video here recently on Access TV on YouTube, and I had no idea that you were involved with legalizing MMA in the state of Maine. So how did you get involved in that process? And what was it like, you know, legalizing a new sport in the state?
Absolutely. And thanks again, Craig, for having me on. I really appreciate it. That was a very interesting process. I decided to first run for office back in 2008. It was the beginning of that year. I was approached by some folks. I've been active in the legislative process for a number of years prior to that, serving in an advocacy role on behalf of direct care workers in Maine's long-term supportive services system. So I had some experience up there at the State House here in Maine. And when I was approached with the opportunity to serve my hometown, I jumped at the opportunity. I really wanted to embrace the opportunity to serve my community, and it seemed like a great opportunity to do that. So once I was elected in November of 2008, I made a pledge early on that I wanted to be committed to action during my time in the legislature. And one of the opportunities that I saw for the state of Maine at the economic level was to legalize the sport of mixed martial arts. It had been banned completely for a number of years. It was totally illegal due to some mix-ups they had with some of the old school tough man competitions several years earlier, and they just kind of painted with a broad brush when they outlawed some combat sports and lumped mixed martial arts in there. So it was an amazing process. It was a laborious process, but anything at the legislative level is. It was a lot of education. I have a lot of I had a lot of colleagues at the time who didn't really have any understanding of the sport whatsoever. So it was a bit of educating everybody individually, and but it was amazing, and it was a great opportunity to kind of bring everybody together in the state that supported the sport, and we I'm very proud to say, obviously, we're victorious. So it was a great experience, one of the highlights of my legislative service for sure.
Yeah, I mean that's awesome, and so from, you know, getting the bill passed, getting MMA legalized in the state of Maine, how quick did you guys act on that and put NEF together?
Well, it wasn't that quick. It was a couple of few years later, actually, because what really happened was once the legislative pathway was clear for people to begin promoting, nobody was really doing it. I mean, we had a couple of shows, but nobody was really fully embracing the opportunity that I saw with the number of gyms that we had here in the state of Maine. Maine has a very rich, long history of amateur wrestling, and I knew a lot of those folks. I wrestled a little bit when I was younger. My brother was a state champion wrestler here in Maine, and it was a sport that I had loved for years, for, you know, going back over 25 years at this point. So I knew there was more opportunity, and nobody was really capitalizing on it. So when I was approached by my partner, Nick, he had called me from out of state and asked me if I would organize and do some matchmaking for him. I was all in because, again, I wanted to see this thing through from, you know, the initial concept in terms of the legal framework all the way to the private market sector where, you know, really that was going to create the opportunities for people. So it was in 2011 that we actually launched NEF. So that was our first show.
So one of the questions that I've been dying to ask you guys, whether it's Nick or yourself, at Fight Night Picks, I like to focus a lot on Bellator. So I'm really dying to know, how did you guys get involved with Bellator 93? I mean, it was hosted in Lewiston, was it not?
It was, yeah, at the venue that we had promoted the majority of our events at. I'm a big fan of Bellator, and you know, I know a lot of people weren't a huge fan of him, but I thought what Bjorn did was pretty amazing to take something from nothing and build it into, you know, the second largest mixed martial arts promotion in the world. I always respected that from a business perspective. I thought it was quite an accomplishment. And they approached us. They saw what we were doing here in Maine. We were turning out big crowds. We were putting on big fights. And they reached out to us and asked if we would work with them and help promote an event here in Maine. So it was really that simple. It was great at the time. We got to work with Zach Light, who was tremendous to work with. He came up here to an NEF event and witnessed it firsthand, was boots on the ground, and him and I spent some time afterwards doing some matchmaking on the undercard. And then, of course, we got to work with Sam Kaplan, who later worked with us as well. He was the head matchmaker at Bellator at the time. So it was brilliant. It was definitely a highlight. Gave a lot of guys up here a great opportunity to get some exposure on national TV. You know, we had a guy like Jesse Erickson, who was in, you know, has been an NEF staple since the beginning. He had his first amateur fight with us, and has competed on a number of cards that we've done over the past almost 7 years now. And he got to make his pro debut with Bellator on the undercard, which was again a great opportunity for him. And a number of other guys got some national television exposure as well. So it was a really, really cool experience, and it was great to have Bellator up here for that.
Yeah, I mean, a number of months ago, I went down through the list, like Martian Hell, Travis Weyouf. You had, you know, the local guy, Irish Hand Grenade, Marcus Davis. And then, of course, you talked, you know, NEF talent, Ryan Sanders. Obviously, the fight didn't go his way, but fought one of the biggest stars in MMA in Michael Venom Page. And then, you know, transitioning from Bellator over to the UFC, you know, this weekend you have Nostos gym owner Devin Powell competing at UFC Calgary, which is great for him. And he really kind of hit a national stage when he was featured on Dana White's Looking for a Fight. And then that the title of that promotion or of that event was actually NEF Dana White Looking for a Fight. So did Dana approach you? I mean, how did that event kind of come together?
Yeah, that's another great question and another great story. It's pretty well documented. Dana has a home up here in Maine, in Levant, Maine, and he's a big fan of coming up here and visiting whenever he has opportunities to be up here on vacation. And again, yeah, it was a situation where the UFC reached out to us and said, hey, Dana's going to be here on this date. Would you guys like to put together a card for his Looking for a Fight series? And again, you know, it's one of those situations when the UFC calls, you answer. Yeah. And it's no different whether you're a fighter or a promoter. So we put that event together. It was about 5 weeks that we put it all together, and we had no plans to do a show at that point in that area. So that was a bit of a challenge, again, to do something on 5 weeks' notice. But when you've got Dana's name behind it, it certainly greased the skids, so to speak, and made it really easy to match make that card. Everybody wanted on, so yeah. It was a funny situation to be in where you had to turn guys away, which is not usually the case, but we only had so many slots that we could fill on that one. So it was great. I mean, certainly a highlight night. Definitely one of the most memorable nights in our promotion's history, and we look forward to hopefully doing it again at some point. I don't rule out the possibility that it could happen again. Again, Dana's connection to Maine and, you know, our desire to just continue putting on the biggest fights possible. So who knows?
Yeah, and I mean, that card there, that was featured in Bangor. This one coming up, you're also in Bangor once again. You know, as a matchmaker, so far right now, I believe there's 3 professional lightweight fights announced on the card. What else can we expect for this card coming up?
Absolutely. We've got some more pro announcements that'll be coming up next week. And we're going to have a full amateur undercard as well. So, you know, we're probably going to be looking at about 15 to 16 fights on this card. We're super excited to be going back to Bangor. The city has such a rich history of mixed martial arts and is currently host one of the most successful MMA teams in New England and Young's MMA. So there's so much goodness going on there that we're really jazzed to be a part of it. We've always had sold-out events there. The fights have been some of the most memorable ones we've ever seen in the NEF cage. So it's just an awesome way to close out summer. Big fights in Bangor on September 8th. In particular, the main event between John Lemke and Aaron Lacy is really an interesting one. Both guys, you know, had similar starts to their pro careers. Lacy started out as 4-0, and John started his career 3-0 before he took his first loss. John has alternated wins and losses in his last few fights, and Lacey has done the same. Lacey's coming up in weight to face Lemke at 155, so John will have a weight advantage in that regard. Both guys have trained in the Bangor Brewer area for a long time. Both guys love to stand and bang, and both guys are fighting in their bloodstream. So there's a lot on the line in terms of reputation in this one for the gyms that they represent. It's just a fascinating fight for Maine fans, and the response that we received once we announced it was just massive. So it's a belt that's resonating with folks, and I have no doubts that both guys are going to bring it in the main event on September 8th.
Yeah, it should be a great card, and it's great that the event's going to be held in Bangor. It's about a 2.5 hour drive from Fredericton, and I know our New Brunswick and our Maritime fans are really excited for it as well. So I really want to thank you, Matt, for coming on the podcast. I'm excited for NEF 35, and that's September 8th from Bangor. Where can fans pick up tickets for the event?
Absolutely, yeah. Best place to go is Ticketmaster.com. That's the easiest place. Just go in there and search for NEF 35. They'll pop right up for you on September 8th. And yeah, Bangor is a beautiful city. It's Maine's queen city. I worked there for a number of years. I attended school for a couple of years just up the road from Bangor in Orono at the University of Maine. So it's a place that holds a lot of history for me personally. I love going there. I love the people from that area, and I think everyone else will as well. So we can't wait to bring everyone a big show on September 8th to close out summer in really spectacular fashion and really rock the joint. So thank you again so much for having me on, Craig, and we look forward to seeing you there on September 8th.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Matt. Matt coming on the podcast. It's definitely great to talk about how MMA was legalized in the state of Maine. You know, the journey that NEF's kind of gone through, their affiliations with Bellator, with UFC and Dana White, and then what's coming up next in September. And I'll be there live at the fights. You'll be able to chat with me. If you've got any questions about NEF, definitely shoot them my way. I'm really excited about the promotion. The last event was great. The fights go by quickly. Like I said with ACB, you know, fighters in their interview, they take their pictures, they're gone, next fight starts. That's what NEF did. And it was a really big card, just like Matt had, you know, kind of previewed coming up. They had a lot of fighters on there, but it's so entertaining and it moves so quickly. It's great fun. So I'd like to thank our sponsors, First Row Collectibles. Head on over to their website. It's firstrow.ca. I'm on there right now. I'm looking at a Bray Wyatt autographed Topps card. There's an Aaron Judge rookie card. You know, you've got hockey cards, baseball cards, old episodes of Sports Illustrated, a Bret Hart autograph card. The list goes on. MMA autograph. So head on over to their website, firstrow.ca. Use the promo code FNP. You'll get free shipping on your order. And, you know, they're located in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. So we had owner Curtis Housen on the podcast quite a number of weeks ago. We broke down, it was interesting, we broke down some of the crossover between WWE and UFC, and it'll be even more interesting to see what happens with Brock Lesnar if there's a crossover fight with Daniel Cormier. So, First Row Collectibles, use the promo code FNP for free shipping on your order today. We're also brought to you by Sisu Mouthguards. I mean, I've had a Sisu Mouthguard for a number of years. One game of hockey, I didn't wear my mouth guard. I get hit right in the tooth, and it came out. And it cost me a lot of money out of pocket, and it was a pain. And I should have been wearing my mouth guard. And with Sisu, I mean, they're thin mouth guards. They're boil and bite, but they're a lot thinner than, you know, your average mouth guard. If somebody were to wear one in the UFC, they used to have a former big-name UFC fighter that was one of their affiliates. But if you were to wear one in the UFC, you'd be able to talk to your corner people. You'd be able to take interviews after the fight without popping your mouth guard out. You could eat, drink with it in. For me in hockey, it was definitely special because I could yell across the ice for a pass. You could understand me on the bench. And Sisu's recently partnered up with Alex Lemonade Stand Foundation, which is a national childhood cancer research foundation. A sale, or a bit of the proceeds from every sale, 10% will go towards Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation on all yellow mouth guards in the Aero and Junior styles. So you can still head over to Sisu, use the promo code FNP10 at checkout for 10% off, and they'll be donating 10% of the proceeds to Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation. My last interview for this episode, we've got Dan Lamorte. You know, you can catch him on YouTube, on Twitter. He's the host of Middle Easy Fight Fist podcast as well, Breaking the Fourth Wall with Dan Lamorte. So here's my conversation with, joining me right now, I've got Dan Lamorte. You know him from Middle Easy, the Fight Fist podcast as well, Breaking the Fourth Wall with Dan Lamorte, a newer podcast that he has. It's also on iTunes. Dan, what's going on today?
How are you? Thanks for having me.
Not too bad. I mean, On your website, I was on there today. You almost have your own emoji up in the top corner. How'd you get that?
Yeah, I have a, part of being a comic is you get to have a nice team of people around you. And I have a great photographer, and then I also have a great graphic designer. And, he's been part of my team for a while now, and he's designed some of the greatest stuff. I mean, he did my album cover. He does tour posters. I mean, he crushes all the graphics.
Yeah, I mean, are we going to be able to see that picture on an Invicta ring anytime soon? Are you going to overtake Hannibal Buress?
Yeah, I gotta sponsor someone with that logo.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta. So, I mean, I gotta ask you.
I don't know if I have that Hannibal money.
No, but one day, you never know. I mean, you're headed to a show right now. It blows up. Who knows? I gotta ask you, how did you get involved with Middle Easy? I mean, they flew on my radar pretty early on. They've got a large following on Twitter. You've got articles online. You're a comedian. How'd you get into it?
I mean, Middle Easy is one of the institutions of modern MMA coverage. So I've always loved them. And there was a period of time maybe even 2.5 years ago now where, so I'm a former college athlete and I got very out of shape doing stand-up. So I was going to write an article called Fat to Fit to Fighter, where I trained back into shape I was actually training with the professional Muay Thai fight team in New Jersey. And then I was going to write articles, once a month or once every other week about the process. And it was going to end in me actually fighting a real fight. And then I got in a few car accidents and that really threw that whole plan off. But that was my original work with Middle Easy, was that article, and I think I only did 2 or 3 of them before I ended up getting pretty messed up in car accidents. And then our relationship died down for about a year until I came with them with the idea. I was like, you guys have been a big brand in MMA for a while and you've never done a Middle Easy podcast. Why don't you let me take it over for you guys?
Yeah, and I mean, the rest kind of history. You guys have had quite a bit of success on there so far. And you talk about comedy, about the fights. Do you get to cover many fights live and in person?
Yeah, I mean, that's been the most amazing part of it, was that quicker than we expected, all three of us got bumped up to credentialed media members. And they treat us really well at these events. We usually sit at the good table. We get to sit close to the fights and watch them. I have a three-man team. It's me and my two co-hosts, Diego and Luke. And I handle the live tweeting and the questions for interviews, but that's mostly Diego's job. Diego writes all the questions for the post-fight interviews. And then Luke is the actual interviewer, where he'll be backstage most of the fights doing the interviews. So my job is essentially just sitting next to the ring and tweeting jokes and analysis of the fights. Because as much as I know MMA and can talk about MMA, my strongest suit is making jokes on the fly. So that's what my job essentially is.
Yeah, and
we've worked about 4 events now, and we've stuck to the Northeast as of now, but next week Luke is flying to L.A. for UFC 227, I think it is.
Yeah, geez.
Yeah, and he'll be sitting ringside at the Staples Arena for that fight, so that'll be our first big coverage one.
Yeah, and it's great that you guys have a 3-person team. I mean, I know when I show up to events and it's just me, I got to do, everything and more, so it's a little more difficult, but good for you guys, and it's good that you guys are growing.
Yeah, that's what helps us, man, is the 3-man team. I covered the UFC Utica fights alone, and that was really tough because if you're a 1-man team, you're not going to be able to do the live tweeting and the interviews.
Yeah, yep.
And for us, that's tough because in Middle Easy, when we cover a fight, we essentially take over Middle Easy for the night. I run the entire Twitter account for the night. Mostly, I mean, I don't run it ever on any other time, just during fight night. And then we also run the YouTube. And it's tough because we get a ton of traffic on fight night when we cover it live to our YouTube channel and to our Twitter channel.
Yeah.
So when we're alone, that means we have to pick one of them to do. And it's just much easier with a 3-man team. But unfortunately, most places don't give out 3 press passes.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you're based out of Jersey, in the New York area as well. I kind of want to get your take. It's not news that I normally cover, but Conor McGregor, he just kind of got off a little light there yesterday in New York. Do you see him fighting at MSG later on this year?
I mean, that's the November card. I mean, that's, I would, absolutely love that, because that's going to be like our first big card that we all covered together. I do think we'll be there live for that one, and I would love to see him fight. I know he got off easy, but at the same time, he's ducked fighting again.
Yeah.
So I would love to see him have to be in there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the ideal matchup. I've had guests on, we've talked about it, and I could see it happen in Toronto too in December, but, you know, November, December return, he's definitely the biggest star in the UFC right now. He's one of the biggest stars, sporting stars in the world. I mean, he kind of surpassed everyone with that Mayweather fight, which a lot of people, you know, whether you liked it or not, it was a big deal, and it definitely grew the sport. Are there any other matchups later on this year that you're kind of looking forward to? Any fighters you'd really like to see back in the cage?
I'd love to see my buddy. He's an up-and-coming prospect, Shane Borgios. I'd love to see Shane back in the ring.
Yeah.
Shane is one of my favorite fighters. He caught a bad loss in his last fight. You know, he's winning and got tagged in the last round. I'd like to see them. I feel like they've really waited a long time to give him another chance. I'd like to see him back in there. Obviously, my buddy Al Iaquinta, I'd love to see Al back in there. I'm excited for Jimmy Rivera versus John Dobson. Jimmy's a good friend of mine. I think it's going to be a good turnaround fight for him. I think the Marlon fight, very similarly to when Aljamain fought Marlon, was a fluke.
Yeah.
I don't believe either of those wins were actually what they showed. I believe, don't get me wrong, I'm a big fan of Marlon. Well, not really. I've openly discussed that on my podcast, but... I think those. I'm excited to see both those guys. I'm not 100% certain, but I'm pretty sure they're both on the same card together in Texas in September. That card's coming together pretty well. I really like the way that's looking.
Yeah, exactly. And the possibility of two
and
title fights.
I'm excited to see who Cormier gets next. I don't know if Lesnar's gonna pull through USADA that quickly.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't, I don't know who. I mean, obviously, I don't think Shogun could get that fight anymore after what happened versus Anthony.
No, and I mean, another one of the fights that I kind of want to see going along with that, you got Anderson Silva coming back off, you know, a USADA debacle. I'd really like to see him fight Israel Adesanya at middleweight. I mean, they've made all their top matchups for New York. And for other cards, UFC 230 there, all the top middleweight matchups. And it kind of left Adesanya in the dust. So a matchup with Anderson Silva would be pretty neat. I mean, two guys with really similar styles.
Yeah, you know, I heard that idea being flirting around last week. And I do really like, I think it's an interesting matchup. You know, it could be one of those classic passing of the torch fights.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I heard you guys talk.
I do think Israel's a future middleweight champion.
I think he's got something special. I mean, in that Vettori fight, I was a little nervous for him. I mean, he got taken down pretty easily, but with his size and his length, he got back up to his feet. So I figured, you know, in his next fight, he's really going to be able to capitalize it. Now, I was one of the media members, along with most, that picked Brad Tavares to beat him in his last fight. I figured, you know, experience would kind of trump everything, and he'd be able to work on the takedowns, take Adesanya down, you know, like 10, 12 times in a fight, win it that way. But I mean, he really surprised me, so I think a Silva fight would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, man, I used to be, my biggest deciding factor when picking fights, up until recently, was always experience over anything.
Yep.
And then once I saw Ortega knock out Frank Edgar, I was like, maybe I'll start going off of skill.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, you've got a kind of a local guy coming up fighting this weekend. You guys did a bit of a preview of UFC Calgary, but... give me your take on that main event. I mean, Dustin Poirier, Eddie Alvarez, doesn't get much better than that. The winner of the fight, whether or not they get a title shot, who knows? But what do you think is going to go down there?
You know, my gut's telling me Dustin. I don't know if that's... I mean, to be completely honest, Dustin is my favorite fighter ever since Fightville. I thought that documentary was fantastic. I've been a diehard fan of his ever since. But then on the flip side, I mean, how do you root against Eddie Alvarez?
Yeah, I mean...
you got two guys who are just so fun to watch, but the way I've seen things as of late, Poirier is very much projecting upwards, whereas I don't know if Eddie's still on that upward track,
yeah.
Whereas Dustin has seemed almost unbeatable as of late.
Yeah, and I mean, even if you have a look at that Pettis fight that he had, a lot of people call it a submission. Whether or not it was a submission, I mean, I believe it was a Pettis rib injury, and that's kind of what ended the fight there. But Dustin Poirier, he keeps learning. He keeps trending upward. I mean, he picked up his BJJ black belt here recently before his last fight, and he's got a lot more tools in his tool belt than I think Alvarez does. But Alvarez, one of the best wrestlers out there. You look at some of his wins and losses and the fights with Michael Chandler, so... It's pretty tough to count him out, but overall, I mean, stacked card.
He's part of that class of MMA fighters that had, you know, more heart than anything.
Yeah.
He's cut from that Frankie Edgar cloth where, like, you could bet against them, but you also have that feeling like they could always win. They have that heart that very few people have.
And, I mean, going along with that trend, the co-main event with Jeremy Stephens and Jose Aldo, I mean, I had my UFC Calgary preview yesterday. And that one's on iTunes and Stitcher. But I see that fight pretty cut and dry. I think Jeremy Stephens has a better opportunity there. I know it's hard to count out Jose Aldo and all the great things he's done for MMA. I mean, he's one of the best champions of all time. But I think he's trending downward. I mean, I know that the losses are to Conor McGregor and two to Max Holloway. But I don't know if he's still got anything left in the tank. He did beat Frankie Edgar. But what's next for Jose Aldo, even if he does win?
Yeah, I mean, even if he wins that, I don't know what direction he... it's an interesting fight. I mean, you're right. It's another case of the trending upward and trending downward. But how many times do we see someone who's trending down? Like, I'll never forget the Machida recent knockout of Belfort to the face.
Yeah, yeah.
The front kick. I would not have expected that. And that's the beautiful thing of this sport is... that's why I have such a hard time betting this sport.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean I make picks and I look at cards and I try and my big thing is trying to inform fight fans, you know, what to look out for. Like last weekend I took a shot in the dark and I said, David Tawada and Danny Roberts, there's your fight of the night. And everybody said, no, you're crazy. And then that ended up being fight of the night. So like to try and predict, like to try and pick up matchups. There's so many interesting things going on in MMA. I mean, frig, we had Henzo Gracie fighting earlier today. Who would have thought that? So there's so many moving pieces. It's the best sport on earth. You cover it with the Middle Easy Fight Fist podcast. You've got your own podcast, Breaking the Fourth Wall, with yours truly, Dan Lamorte. It was so great having you on the podcast. I'm going to have you back on again. It's a lot of fun talking about the fights. Our listeners, make sure you go out and listen to Dan's podcast. Where can people find you online, and what do you have for shows coming up?
Website is www.danlamorte.com. Twitter and Instagram are the same, at Dan Lamorte. Coming up, you know, I'll be at Knicks in Boston August 24th to 25th. And then August 30th to September 25th, I'll be on my 2018 tour, which is called the Dunkin' Nuggets Tour. It's mostly southern states. I would keep everyone here far too long if I had to read through all the dates. I think it's... 25 cities and almost 20 different states, so people can check that out. I'm going to post those dates on my website soon. I've just been too lazy to type call out.
Awesome. Well, that sounds like a great time. And, you know, Boston, you're about a six and a half hour drive from me, so maybe I'll head down to Boston and check out those shows. Thanks so much for coming on, Dan.
Great. So that does it for episode 32 of the Fight Name Picks podcast. Make sure you check us out on iTunes and Stitcher as well as on YouTube. I've got articles up at fightnightpicks.net. I had a recent article about Bellator 204. I had one about James Gallagher and how in his next fight, it'll be for a title as well. You know, the UFC's light heavyweight division, it's been a topic of contention on the podcast. What's going on with the UFC's light heavyweight division? What could we see coming up? You kind of got a logjam at the top. You've got some older fighters coming out, newer guys coming in. So it's really interesting stuff going on there. So we'll be back again early next week with some more guests. We're going to have a fighter that's competing at UFC Calgary on Saturday joining us. So that's pretty exciting stuff. So we'll see you again early next week.